We are in a very busy time in the life of our congregation, and there it seems like things are happening each week around here. Next Sunday night, the Scott family is going to be with us. They're going to be singing, and they're a great family, and they're going to be singing a lot of songs that you'll know. And 6 o'clock, December 12th. We'll remind you again next week. On the 19th, in the AM service, our children are going to be singing, and in fact, they're practicing even as I speak. And then on the 19th p.m., we're going to have Christmas with the church here at 5 o'clock, and that's a carry-in meal, and there's a basket in the lobby that you can sign up and let folks know what you're going to be bringing so we can sort out what we still need to get. We're going to provide the meats and drinks, maybe? Meats and drinks. And so I hope somebody does some good cheesecake this year. I always look forward to the cheesecake. Oh, somebody do some good cheesecake. Blackberry cheesecake. And so we're going to do that. Now, looking into January, financial freedom class starts. And I think it starts on January the 12th. Lyndall and Ariel Harper will lead that. That's a great class to go through. If you've never been through financial freedom, you ought to do that. And then bowling starts January, I think 12th or 17th. I don't know. Sometime in January, bowling starts. There's a sign-up sheet in the lobby, and we want you to sign up. Usually there's 12 lanes and four per team, so we have 48 people who can play. So again, I think we have about half of that filled up now, so sort of get on that if you want to be part of that. We'll have a great time, and we'll bowl for, I think, maybe 8 weeks if weather permits. But it's busy, so get on some of those things. I want to speak with you this morning from the narrative that we have in the Bible about Joseph, who was the husband of Mary. And as I've thought about Joseph this week, I got to tell you, when I look at the kind of man that he was, I've really felt convicted about the kind of man I am. And I just don't want to feel convicted all by myself. So I've been convicted for longer than you're going to be convicted. But I want to talk to you about Joseph today. And I want to talk really into two different groups of people. The first are single people, particularly single ladies, all you single ladies. Da, 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 how's it go? And I shouldn't know how that goes. Preacher, crying out loud. So I want to talk to you single ladies about maybe what you ought to be looking for. And then I want to talk to you men, single or married, about the kind of man that you and I ought to be. And then I might throw something in to the married ladies. I don't have any intent, but as it goes, you might get some spray from the shotgun I'm about to unleash. So I want to talk to you about dating, what you ought to be looking for, using Joseph as an example, and again, the kind of person you and I ought to be looking at Joseph. Because again, the Bible says that this birth, the incarnation of Christ, was the most orchestrated event, I believe, in the history of the world. Everybody is chosen for a purpose. And when God looked down and looked for a stepfather for his son, this was a very specific person that God was looking at. And so let me read to you the text in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. And then I want to grab just a couple verses in Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Not in their sins, by the way, from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 through 14, maybe a couple years passed. The wise men come. We don't really know how long, but 2 years is a pretty good guess. And they find out about Herod and his intents to kill the child. And so in verse 13, it said, Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. There are reasons why Joseph was not chosen, and those reasons are the things that we value in many ways most as a culture. From what we know, again, he wasn't an overwhelmingly handsome person. He wasn't a rich person. He wasn't a powerful person. He did come from a good family. In one sense, he was in the lineage of King David, but David had lived 900 years before. That's 30 generations. And so are you saying there's any money left in the family? No, that was long gone. And, you know, when you and I do genealogies, if we go back 900 years, we find somebody important. But that doesn't mean a lot to us in the present day normally. And so the reasons that we might have chosen somebody are reasons that Joseph would not particularly have been chosen. Joseph was chosen. Joseph is a man that you and I ought to think about if we're men. Joseph is a man that if you're a single woman, you ought to be looking for, because verse 19 says that he was a just man. That's who Joseph was. He was a righteous man. He was a upstanding man. He was a man of integrity. Now, as we look at the passage, there's at least five characteristics of this man of integrity, this just man, this righteous man. And this is challenging to me. I think it might be challenging to you. What are the characteristics of this man of integrity? Well, first of all, he was a God-fearing man. He was a person who followed Yahweh. In our day, we would say he was a saved man. He was a man on fire for God. Now, that's important. Every man ought to be a saved man. Every man ought to be a man who is meek, a strong man, but meekness is strength under control. Every man, every person ought to be a man. Every man ought to be a man, not every person, but every man ought to be a man who has strength, but has submitted that to the control of Jesus Christ, the God of the universe. Everybody ought to be a Christian. A man of integrity is a Christian man. And every woman ought to be looking for a Christian man. Every single woman ought to be looking for a Christian man, particularly if you're a Christian woman. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together. We have women today in churches all over the place, and they've been dating a guy. And if you ask them, is he a Christian? They might say, well, I don't know. If you don't know, he's not a Christian. I mean, listen, God's been too good to us. If you've been texting and calling him for 2 weeks and he ain't said nothing about Jesus Christ, he ain't said anything about how blessed he is to be a child of God, he ain't said anything about a prayer that God answered, he ain't said anything about praying, he ain't said anything about a Bible verse he read, he ain't said anything about a sermon that he heard preached, he ain't said anything about a Christian song he heard on the radio, he's not a Christian. Cut him loose. Loose him. Tell him, you don't have to go home, but you got to get up out of here. We're finished. We're done. Goodbye. See you later. Gone. Get on out of here. Christians ought to be, men ought to be Christian, and women ought to want a Christian man. Secondly, we know he was a man of integrity because he cared about Mary. She comes to him and she says, I'm pregnant, but God did it. Now, you know full well Joseph is standing there saying, my. My girl's gone to town, hooching it up, comes back lying about it, and she's mentally broken because she's saying God did it. She's this crazy lying hooch. You know he's got to be thinking that. And yet at that, Bible says that he wanted to put her away privately so that there was as little damage to her as possible. Now think about that. He doesn't respond, I want to strangle her, I want to kill her, how could you have done this to me? It's like, baby, you're breaking my heart. You're very broken. You're hurt. I don't want to make you hurt any more than you're already hurt. No, I can't do this because I can't be married to this kind of crazy, but make it as easy as possible on you as I can. That's what a godly man does. Godly man just doesn't come up to a girl and throw love around. I love you, I love you, love. No, he cares about her. Cares about her. In other words, Joseph was a good breaker-upper. Good breaker-upper. I was reading that, and I just felt waves of conviction, because when I was single, I wasn't a good breaker-upper. My wife and I got married on the third try. We broke up twice. It was almost all my doing the first two times. I won't take all the blame, because the girl won't answer her phone half the time. She got some blame. But it was mostly me. Joseph had integrity that I didn't have when I was single. Women, find a man who cares about you. And you'll know he cares about you when his attitude is that I don't want to bring any unnecessary hurt into your life. And it doesn't matter what your past is, doesn't matter all the crazy things you've done in your life. You still need a man who cares about you, that won't throw your past in your face, and who will love you and say, you got some hurt, but I'm not going to make it hurt anymore. That's not what I'm about. Stay away from the guys who are little drama queens, who get jealous and envious and suspicious, and the worst of the lot are the passive-aggressive ones who pout to get their way. Stay away from those guys. They don't care about you. They tend to get some kind of joy in making it hurt worse when you're already hurting already. Amen. He cared about her. Said, you're hurt, but you're not going to get any more hurt from me. I'm going to make it as easy as possible here. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Third, we know he's a man of integrity. Not only is he a man who worships Yahweh, worships God, he cares about her, but he also cares about what God thinks. Because he's going to try to find a way out of this as nicely as possible. But then the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, don't worry about it. She told you the truth. This child is of the Holy Spirit. And so you need to go ahead and take her as your wife. And the Bible says, and maybe more happened than what is in the Bible. Maybe there's verses between the verses that weren't written. But it simply says that Joseph accepted that. God said it. Joseph said, all right, I'll do it. That's what I'm going to do. And again, Christian men, every man ought to be a Christian. And every Christian man ought to care about what the Word of God says above anything else. If God says it, that ought to be enough for a Christian man. And ladies, that's the kind of guy you're looking for. You're looking for a guy who says, whatever is in the book, I'm going to do because that's God's Word. If you've been dating a guy, particularly one who's been going to church and claims to be a Christian, and you ask him where the book of Hezekiah is, and he starts to look for it, turn him loose. He doesn't even know what's in the book. How could he be living the book? And listen, ladies, it's okay if he don't listen to you, but he listens to God. I mean, you don't want a guy who listens to you all the time. You don't want a guy you got on a leash. Come on. No excitement in that. But if he listens to God, you'll be okay. If he's the kind of guy who will do the book and God can intervene in his mind, you've got yourself a good husband. And you may not even have to tell him a lot about what to do, because if God's beating you to it, he'll be okay. He will. He's a man who cared about her. He's a man who cared about what God's opinion was. Now, fourth, this is where it gets interesting. Not only was he a Christian man who cared about her, cared about what God thought, but he was a man of integrity because he had self-control. Primarily, in this sense, sexual self-control. Because it says that, Bible says, that he did not know her in the biblical sense of the word until after the baby was born, after they were married. Now, there's people who are in the world today, and they say that Mary died a virgin. I don't think that's what the book said. It said he did not know her, sleep with her, till after the baby was born. He had sexual integrity about him. He had sexual integrity. Now, he wouldn't like a lot of maybe boys running around in Greene County today. Guys, I'm sure there's some Greene County boys in a similar situation. They would say, well, listen, you're already pregnant. I'm already getting blamed for it. And we're going to get married anyway. Why wait? That might be what some boys would say, but that's not what a man with integrity says. It's not what a godly man would say. I'm already feeling tension for some reason. It's not what a godly man would say. But it's what Joseph said because he was a godly man. Let me put it that way. Every man ought to be a man with self-control. Every woman ought to want to marry a man with self-control. Because the biggest predictor of whether he will have self-control when you marry him is that he had self-control before you married him. And I don't understand why women discount sexual integrity in a mate. I don't understand. I would think that you would want a husband with sexual integrity. I know lots of people sleep together before they get married. And I don't know why a guy discounts sexual integrity, because righteous men pull a Joseph and leave their coat and run. But I really don't know why women don't value sexual integrity in a husband. Say, well, you know, we'll sleep together and we'll get married, and I don't know why he wouldn't be faithful to me. Listen, he has no self-control in that area of his life. Now, I'm not saying that he might not have a religious conversion and come to Christ, and Christ changes everything. And I'm not necessarily saying that if you sleep together before you get married, that he would have an affair on you. But you got to think about the bigger picture. even if he may not have an affair, he has demonstrated he has no sexual integrity. And as you well know, 75 to 80% of men in any poll look at pornography on at least a weekly basis. I don't know why you want to be married to a person or you discount the fact that he doesn't have integrity. Maybe you look in the mirror and you say, oh, look at all this, man. Why would he ever cheat on all this? Well, gravity's going to do something to all that, first of all. It ain't going to be all that. But even at that, you ain't all that. I don't understand why a woman, let me put it this way, would marry a man who clearly demonstrates he doesn't have sexual integrity, knowing that 80% of men end up with some kind of something with porn. I don't understand why you would marry a man who, even if he was probably physically faithful to you, is very unlikely to be emotionally faithful to you, and who is going to have a harem of women on his phone, which statistically 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 5 men have. And if he doesn't have sexual integrity, he's probably, the chances are, unless he has this great religious conversion, he's going to be one of those guys. Now, maybe that's not important to you. Maybe it's not important to you to be married to a man who has the ability to be emotionally faithful to you. And maybe you're okay with what he looks at and the things that he does. But having said that, don't be a person who finds all the stuff on their husband's phone and then shows up at the preacher's office saying, I didn't know he had all that stuff on there. I mean, look at the stuff. I mean, look at all this stuff. I got a guy who's got a real control issue. Because if you do that with this pastor, the first thing I'm going to ask is, well, did you sleep together before you got married? And if you say yes, then I'm going to say, then you knew really what you were marrying. You didn't realize he was that nasty, but you knew what you were getting. Knew what you were getting. You married a person without sexual integrity, and now you're shocked that he maybe, while physically faithful to you, is not emotionally faithful to you. A lot of tension today. What's going on? Is this something did I say something that wasn't true? It matters. I think it matters that somebody has sexual integrity. My wife was, where's Big Red? Must be in the nursery. Well, I can really say it now. Oh, my wife. My wife was down at Little Caesars yesterday. Went to pick up some pizza. And she came home, puts the pizza down, and I'm sitting at the bar, or at the counter there. The bar, the counter. And, the counter. And, she puts the pizza down. And, you can't believe what happened to me. I got hit on today in Little Caesars. And I said, well, did you show them a picture of your kids? Guys, because that cooled me off and I'm their father. But, I mean, those things don't, it's never concerned me because I knew the kind of woman she was before I married her. Not worried. I know her, and I know me. It'll be all downhill from here. She'll be trading down the whole way if she leaves me. And it matters. My sister, I've three sisters, and they're all attractive sisters, but one of them was, it's about 15 years ago now, maybe. And she was in her mid-40s, but she's, you know, she aged real well. And we lived in this little town called Granite Falls, North Carolina, which had a population of about 4,800 people. And then you got Hickory, which is down the road. But Granite Falls, in the last 20 years, has had two famous people come out of that that have done really well in a national scene. One was Madison Bumgarner, who was a great pitcher for the San Francisco teams that won the World Series. So he came out of Granite Falls. The other one was a country singer that I know little about because I like good music. But his name is Eric Church. So Eric Church grew up in Granite Falls. And he was back home. And he had gone out, and he wasn't as famous then as he is now. But he was still very famous. And had made a lot of money by then. And I don't know if it was a grocery store or it was the gas station. But she ran into Eric Church. And he started chatting her up. And at some point, he asked her, are you married? And she said, yeah. And he said, well, how married? I guess you get away with that when you're at church. But she said, very married. Very married. And her husband, you know, heard that and said, yeah, absolutely she'd be trading down. And she knows she'd be trading down. And But she had sexual integrity. When she was single, that translated into her marriage. Didn't matter if the guy was world famous. Didn't matter if he had $100 million. She had sexual integrity. And her husband didn't have to worry about her. Sexual integrity, I think, matters. Matter. Joseph had it. So not only was Joseph a Christian man, we would say Christian. He was a righteous Jew, but we would say Christian. He was a man who cared about her, not willing to put any more on her than she had already put on herself. He even tried to help with some of that. Not only did he care about what God thought, but he was a man who had self-control. Fifth, he was a man who would do what it took to take care of his family. And so we have that in Matthew chapter 2. Where it says, when word came that the child, now this wasn't his child, I mean, not his biological child, but he was married to the mother, so that was his child. And it says, when the word came that the child might be threatened, he picked them up, he packed them up, and he took them all the way down to Egypt. Now that may not seem like a huge thing to you, but you got to think about it for a minute. He's from that area. The Jews did not leave that area. His family had been there for generations. He was probably the son of a carpenter who was the son of a carpenter. This was a family business he was leaving. Now, some of us could go somewhere else and make the same amount of money that we're making now. But there are a lot of people in this room who have businesses they have built in East Tennessee. And they're thriving businesses that have been built up on some of them generational businesses. There's deep connections there. And you just can't say, hey, we're going to move to Timbuktu and start over. If you do that, it's going to cost you financially. You got to just stay here. You can't make the money you're making now in any place but East Tennessee. Because you got the connections, you build it up. That's what Joseph had. But the child was threatened. His boy was being threatened. And so he left this business, goes all the way down to Egypt. Different skin color. Different language. He's an outsider. He's a foreigner. Financially, that was a costly decision to make. Now, you know, we believe that what the gifting of the wise men was perhaps given to hold them over. So perhaps they have what the wise men gave them. But you know as well as I do, it'd have been great to have banked all that stuff for a rainy day, not to have to bleed it all the way down to Egypt and back. But it was important to him that his family be taken care of. And the money wasn't the important thing, the family was. That's the kind of man that God chose for Mary to marry to be the stepdad. He knew that he was a man of integrity who would put his family first. You need a man like that, and you need to be a man like that. I need to be a man like that. You know, I don't know that our families always will agree with us when we make that stand. I mean, when Joshua stood up and said, "You guys decide which God you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I mean, he probably had a lot of adult kids. He might have had two or three snicker. But what he was saying was, in my house, to the greatest capacity I have, this house is going to be a godly house. I'm going to stand there. I'm going to do what I can to protect this family. Maybe not from an invader, but I'm going to protect it from the biggest, really, invader of all, Satan, to the greatest potential I have. You know how Satan comes into your family today, by the way? Not through the front door, it's through the media. Through the media. My kid, Batman, he's either going to get beat to death or he's going to walk straight. And life seems to be beating him to death. I haven't done that much. The floor is beating him to death. But this kid will turn 4 in January and I got to run him off YouTube. He knows how to work the remote and get to YouTube, and I got to run him back to Boomerang to Scooby-Doo. We were sitting down watching a movie, The Christmas Chronicles. 6 minutes in, there's a cuss word. It's like, turn that joker off. Turn it off. You know, you do what you can to say, in this house, we're going to be godly. Do what I can. I realize I have some limitations, but I can threaten like I don't have any. I can scare them straight. It's important. Joseph is a guy, again, who doesn't say, you know what, this is a problem. Somebody might be threatening my kid. I think I'll go to the cops. No, he says, I'll do something about it. I'm going to do something about it. If it costs me a fortune, I'm going to protect my family. That's by the way, what the Bible calls a mighty man. Mighty man. In the Old Testament, you have the narrative of David, and then at the end of the narrative, the narrator wants to remind us that as great as David was, he didn't do it all himself. And so he had some mighty men, 30, 33, somewhere, one of those two numbers. And so he starts talking about all these mighty men. And they have one thing in common. They were all men who would not budge. And so he talks about this guy starts with an A, Abishai. That Abishai was a guy who got into a fight one day, and he just stood there and with a spear killed 800 people. Just, not going to go. And he was a mighty man because he just stood. Just fought. Just stood. Just bulldogged it. And then he says, and there's this guy named Eleazar. And he said, one day David and Eleazar were with some other guys, some soldiers, and they were at the pass of Dodo. And I think it's Dodo, could be something else, but Dodo. And they got attacked by some Philistines. Everybody who was with them ran away, except Eleazar and David. But they just stood their ground. Bring it on. And they stood their ground, and that's why they're a mighty man. And then he talks about a guy named Shama. He said, one day Shama was with some other soldiers. Philistines came in. They all ran away and left him standing there in the middle of his barley field. And he said, they're going to have to kill me to get my barley. Guys, you know, they get the barley, they'll end up with the collard greens and the corn. I ain't let that happen. So he just stood there and fought. A mighty man is a man who will stand. Say, I'm going to protect my family. I'm going to protect my fields. I'm going to protect my nation. I'm going to stand. To get them, you're going to have to deal with me. Joseph was that kind of guy. Whole countryside was trying to find that boy of his. But he said, we're getting out of here. It's going to be costly. It's going to be costly. But we're getting out of here. He was a man of integrity. You and I ought to be men of integrity. In this culture, we ought to be men of integrity. It's not a king that's trying to get our children. It's the culture that's trying to get our children. We ought to be men of integrity and take a stand and as best as we can say, as for me and my house, this is the direction we're going to go. Joseph was that kind of guy. Godly man. Single ladies, all you single ladies, why don't you find you a Christian man? Man who cares about you. I know there's not a lot of us left. Man who cares about you. Man who cares about what God thinks. Man who has self-control. A mighty man who you know will stand between you and your family and that which threatens it and say, you're going to have to run me over to get to my family. The kind of man Joseph was. Now I should say this, and then I'm finished. Some of you are here and saying, I don't know where that guy exists. And you might be right. But whether or not you can find that person to marry, that man exists in the sense that there's a man named Jesus who meets all those qualifications that's willing to have a relationship with you. Jesus, this son of Mary that Joseph helps raise, was everything Joseph was plus 1,000%. He was a man who loved the Father. He was a man who cared, and he does care about you today. He cares about you. If you got a hurt, if you got a need, if there's things that are broken in your life, there is one who cares for you. His name is Jesus Christ. And he is a strong man. He is a mighty man. Mountains move when he commands them. Demons flee when he commands them. Sicknesses leave bodies when he speaks the word. And you ought to think about meeting this mighty man. Look for, if you're a single woman, look for Joseph, but come to Jesus. And if you're a man today, really, to be the kind of man Joseph was, you're going to have Jesus. The man that we ought to be is impossible to be unless Jesus Christ helps us. So I want you to stand today.